Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvetti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie.
I'm very giggly right now because the call-in just cracked me up, so it's a great way to start the show. Okay, tonight's show, God's Waiting Room. Now, you know, I think I've heard this expression before for people who are waiting to die. And in essence, we are dying to the old. There is no question about that. Lordy, lordy, are we ever. But this is really talking about being in between worlds. And I'm fascinated by the fact that I've been talking about this and sharing this with other people. And Lauren Gorgo wrote a wonderful piece called The Transition Zone. She does Think With Your Heart. And so she put, I mean, you know, she's funny, she's witty, but she really nailed it. And but I call it God's Waiting Room because to me that's exactly where we are. Sitting here between third and fourth density with just everything coming at us and us getting to choose which one it is, trying not to implode and explode everywhere. So we're going to talk about it all tonight and try to stay focused on our magic.
Yay, magic!
Oh, God, please. we will have new music on the entrance into the show as soon as Jackie gets her little hiney in gear and gets it over to BBS Radio. Also, on the show announcements, I'm not yet able to add anything in there, so they look a little different than they have in the past, and that's because I'm working with a very shaky format. But I have a fellow that hopefully this week will get to it and set it up so it's a little bit more firm in that I don't have to worry about the whole thing disappearing while I'm trying to type into it. And I can't expand it. It's very interesting. It's as always, anything having to do with the team is, you just never know. I know there's somebody on the other side of the veil with their whole, I could just see them with this great big board of dials and stuff, and every time I do something, I'm thinking, no, don't touch the dial. And I know they sit there and slap their knees and laugh like hell because they know I'm going cuckoo. I've been in continuous computer challenge, so I don't know about you guys. I know Mercury's supposed to be out of retrograde. I'd like to know what planet you're all on because mine isn't.
Well, I think Pluto's in retrograde still.
Yeah, well, get the hell out. I mean, oh, Lord, I just like one thing to work. I'm actually
afraid. We have no end of problems the last few weeks, but we haven't over the last 2 days that we know.
Yesterday, I was down all afternoon, and anyway, the long and the short of it, the cable company who swore there was nothing wrong at their end, after 45 minutes on the phone, 35 or 45, the second call went, oh, we're so sorry. Your whole sector just went down. And I'm like, what? Okay, then. So show dedication to the continued support to everyone that's experiencing chaos, loss, fear, and uncertainty, including our dear Mother Earth. For everybody who's out there listening to what's happening with weather patterns, it's just amazing. And with the tornadoes and the losses, and, you know, it just seems that there is a constant barrage of things happening. There doesn't seem to be any breathing time in between. You know, we went from Japan to one thing after the other after the other. The Middle East, it's just, wow. Food cravings. I want to jump right into that one because I just ate a whole container of pasta, and which is not on my food approval list. I am craving pasta like never before and greens. And I cannot get enough greens. And every time I eat broccoli, I think of you, Veronica, because you're the queen of broccoli. And, you know, I mean, I go to Whole Foods and load up on the broccoli. And today I bought all kinds of pasta, and I'm thinking, oh, God, Jackie, you know what this does to you. But
how'd you feel?
Oh, right now?
Mm-hmm.
I feel mentally satisfied, and physically I feel... But it was very, very good.
Swami Beyondananda says green and Barrett.
Yes, I do a lot of... I'm supposed to eat just protein and greens, okay?
Right.
That's really based on, you know, a fortune I've spent with my homeopathic MD. And but I think that we're going through so many shifts and changes that our food cravings, I mean, I don't know about you, Veronica, because, you know, I know you're the green queen, but I'm an O.
Boiled eggs.
What?
I'm into boiled eggs. I never eat eggs, but I've been into boiled eggs, hard boiled.
Oh, that's really, eggs,
and
I really.
Peanuts by the bag, yeah.
And peanuts. And you're, what blood type are you, AB?
A.
Oh, you're an A. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
It's an interesting blood type. It certainly has its challenges, but you've learned how to work around it beautifully.
Well, they say we're supposed to be vegetarians, but I can't. I'm just, I just get off the wall if I don't have something to ground me, some meat.
Some form of protein?
Yeah, usually it has to be a bit of animal protein, even if I'm trying not to do that.
Well, as you know, I tried that for 3 years and damn it killed me, but...
That's the problem. We're part of the chain. I guess we have to get with that, eh?
Well, yes, we do. And trust that we can change the frequency of what we're ingesting. And, you know, Bashar has talked about it many times, that you don't need that much protein.
Right.
But you need a little bit of protein and, you know, primarily greens with the protein. And so I do force myself to have a little protein. But lately, even at lunch, I'm like, you know, I test everything. And I'm like, okay, greens, greens, and more greens. And, you know,
I said, poor Jackie, that's not your favorite, is it?
Well, I mean, it's not even that. It's like nothing, you know, I can't do my sushi anymore, and I can't do shellfish. And I, you know, I'm bouncing off the walls because I just think that we're going through massive changes. And, you know, I just decided you got to roll with what you're craving and give it up. You know,
yeah.
And I am. I'm just like, okay, fine, I'll do that. But I did want to let everybody else know, not that you really care, but in case you're having these bizarre cravings, to understand that we're all going through it. And
it doesn't mean you're pregnant.
No, and just, you know, if your body needs it, do it.
I did whipping cream the other night, but that didn't work too well. My legs just about killed me in the night.
Now, why did your legs kill you from whipping cream?
I don't know, but I get a really odd pain and thickness in my legs when I do that kind of thing.
When you say that kind of thing, Veronica, are you talking about?
Whipping cream, yogurt, sour cream, all of those things.
Okay, so any kind of dairy?
Yeah. Well, I can eat cheese sometimes, but yeah, mm-hmm. Most dairy kinds.
Okay, very interesting.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, was it organic or just off the shelf?
I think it was, actually it was organic whipping cream. And I whipped it myself. It wasn't out of one of those neat little cans you can spray right into your mouth.
You know, I'm sitting on my tongue at the moment, so I don't say a word. And besides, we've got Bob sitting there, so I'm trying to really behave.
Hey, Jackie, it shows.
Okay, thank you. All right, so let's talk about Easter. Oh, Lordy. Saturday night, all night long, I was waking up at very short intervals in tears. And I was feeling all over the planet as, you know, our times you know, again, Sunday morning resurrection, as people were waking up, this sense of hopelessness of turning to the divine for safety, for, Lord, something that makes some kind of sense, for something that to cling to ground to get hope from. And I don't think I've ever felt the planet and the people on the planet with such deep emotion as I did Saturday night. It was just, and Sunday, as a mess. There's just no getting around. I cried all day Sunday. And
I said I wasn't like that, but I realized that I had had a long talk with a friend where I said I just felt so hopeless, and that was Saturday night.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
It was an overall energy on the planet, and I was very blessed in that I got to watch my son take care of his paraplegic friend, and it was without a doubt not just my son paying for this and doing that, but it was the love that he gave to him and feeding him and cutting up his food and sharing his soup, you know, with the same spoon, and there was such love and caring with joy and humor, and that it was love and touching beyond anything I could have imagined. And so to me, it gave Easter a significance that there's never been an Easter I felt that kind of significance to, where I was able to actually see, to me, what Easter really was about anyway, and Christ spoke about it. If you love the least among these, you love me, and that kind of thing. It was really that there is no greater love than to love your fellow man. And I really saw it in a way, and my son worked his little ass off with both husband and wife were in wheelchairs, and he drove them down, and what it took just to unload the van and unhook and the service dog, it was exhausting just to watch him, and I had the joy of having them over last night, and the gratitude and the receptivity, it was just so beautiful. I mean, to me, it was an experience. As I told my son, he's got probably a lifetime pass on this one, and his answer to me was, I don't know why anybody's making such a big deal. All I'm doing is taking care of my friend.
Oh.
And I thought, wow. There is, you know, for somebody who's intrinsically lazy, it was a living example of how beautiful it is to love your friend, and what it took just for him to get his friend into my house, because the wheelchair is so enormous, we couldn't get it through any doors or up any steps, of course, and my son went and bought boards and had them specially cut and laid them out, and it was really, I was very, very grateful to participate in that. But I will say that for those of you that experienced Easter as incredibly emotional this year, there was this wave going all over the planet. But again, we're between worlds. And so the emotions are very, very, very high. And Veronica, we didn't talk about this today, but I don't know, have you been feeling this pull of people needing to come together?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
I feel my own need to gather people, too.
Yes. And mm-hmm. and and I'm seeing where families are pulling together more than they really ever have. Dear Jennifer, I talked to her the other night, and she said, you know, I just can't get anybody to leave me alone. She said, it's just I can't get anybody out of my house. And I, and I said, you know, I really do feel that. I feel this. I think with, again, these waves of kind of hopelessness and being in between worlds and this feeling of things being, nothing being solid, including ourselves, that it's needing to come together with those who are either like us or that we feel connected to. And what I'm noticing, too, is a lot of people that we may not have felt super connected to in the past, all of a sudden feeling this strong connection, where they're shedding, we're shedding, and the truth of who we all are, I think, is becoming more and more tangible.
I like that, shedding. I like that. That's, I think, what's going on.
Uh-huh. And so the, we're able to see who they truly are and feel who they truly are. And I think that is bringing us together, those real, true vibrations, as we're all shedding all this crap.
But it's interesting because I feel real bond, I mean, a soft, soft bond with a number of beings right now, but I don't feel any of that with my family of origin right now.
Well,
and it's interesting because, as many people will know, that I've tried to step away from my neuroses about that and so on, and I just don't feel anything right now.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful. I will light a candle tonight because I'm so excited.
I get to go, woohoo!
And I'm not being facetious. I'm being honest.
Yeah, and I feel actually, and this is not boasting, this is just hand in hand with that, I feel loved and I feel loving, and not there, but with many right now. And, you know, it's softer.
You know, the team has been working so diligently with us, and I, in individual sessions, certainly on shows, about being willing to be loved. And I announce this in the morning before I do my first session, sometimes before every session. And oftentimes it brings me right to tears because it's so vulnerable. And I can feel my heart chakra just cracking open. And it's almost, it's a soul-type ache. It's not a human ache. It's soul. There's a sweet sorrow to soul, and that's how it feels. And you know, we'll go into that in a minute because, you know, I really got how much trouble that got me into. Also, I've noticed, and I don't know about you, Veronica, that I'm seeing one of my children are feeling a little adrift in the world. And I think as we're changing, they're changing, because it's just the way it works.
They can't help it, can they?
No. No, they absolutely cannot help it. Mm-hmm. But this need, at least I'm feeling it from my children, this need to unite, whether they know how to do it or not. But even my son, who announced last night, you know, Mommy, can I move back home? Oh, which is pretty cute considering I think he's 43. But, and, you know, he's doing phenomenally well in business world and so on. But I really get that. I know in, you know, with my son and I, certainly, and I've always said this, that, you know, if there's anybody on the planet that's my soulmate, it's him. And, but I also get, did tell him there'd have to be behavior modification agreement. But I, which he laughed about, but I really do get that there is this need to connect with someone that really understands us, especially for all the star beings out there, that we're really needing that like vibration to kind of move through this really interesting in-between time. Because it is, I think a lot of people are feeling somewhat adrift. And
we need to be in that vibrational community.
I don't think that there's any question. There's just this sensing of knowing that somebody cares about whether or not you're home or what you're doing, or you know, of course, as parent and child, there's always the push-pull of, you know, you're watching me, you know.
Don't look at me.
And that doesn't change. It doesn't matter how damn old they get. So
once I said to my daughter, I wish we were friends and I wasn't your mother. All I have to do is flick my eyebrow and we're off and running. I have no idea I did it, you know. She got the giggles. She thought that was funny.
It's true.
I know it's true. Yeah, a little twitch of the nostril, man.
Well, I had that with my daughter, not my son, but with my daughter. There's no question.
Is he nearsighted? No, that was a joke. So
that's very funny. No, he's actually looking at. He's going to have to at some point start buying cheater glasses. It just kills him.
Oh,
and
wow.
He won't wear them just because it's me. And he did get my stubbornness. The Enneagram, and I, you know, you and I talked about this, Veronica, but I do want to throw it out there. Dear Bonnie, and Bonnie's blog is a link on the new website. Bonnie's doing some brilliant, brilliant work. And I have great respect for her. And she's been watching Lazarus's online program right now on the Enneagram. And not that it's anything really new, but deeper. And Lazarus has said that this is, in order for us to really move into our true work on the planet, our true destinies, that, you know, understanding the Enneagram and what we're moving into next is imperative. And, you know, I've been aware of the Enneagram. I haven't done anything with it, but Bonnie kind of laid some information on me the other day. And because she kept getting the hit that I should be watching this online intensive from Lazarus. And so she hit me with the same, you know, this whole thing you and I have talked about, Veronica, and Bob's mentioned. Everybody thinks I'm an eight. I have no idea. But the eight has to move to the two. And, of course, my heart and my second chakra are just blowing wide open. All I do is cry. And what's interesting is she said that in order for the eight to move into the destiny, they had to be willing to receive with elegance. And she pointed out that the experience with my son and his friend was a perfect example of elegant receiving, and that Derek was willing to receive and my son was willing to give, and it was such a beautiful exchange. And because they were both willing, it became an exponential experience, and which of course made me cry even more. And but I really got that. Anyway, for any of you interested in perusing this, okay, the website, and they are the foremost authorities on the Enneagram. The website is, an Enneagram is E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M, EnneagramInstitute.com. And actually, almost no, it doesn't matter how you spell it, they've put all the variables in there just in case. And you can take an online test. You can explore the different parts. And I know, Veronica, you said you've kind of been around the whole thing, you think, several times. And I think that's probably possible. I just know that for me, and it sent me really into a deep state of life review, that I have never actually been able to receive love. And it was a shock to me that as I looked at my whole life because of my background and so on. I didn't know how to receive love because I always had to be doing for others to survive. And so I never got out of that. And I still do that. I still am always, and I'm one of those interesting people, which made me understand about the whole hospital thing and the all the stuff I've been through lately, that the eight cannot stand not to be strong and independent. Which
and the
really
leader.
Makes...
And you guys are the leaders.
Well, I understand that, but I also understand that, you know, I literally, we would say this in kind of a joking fashion. I could be bleeding to death and wouldn't go to the hospital. I was and would not have gone had not somebody called an ambulance. So, and they still had a lot of talking to do to get me into the ambulance, only because they convinced me I was dying. And so it took me to my vulnerability, and that's the big one, is that in our vulnerabilities, our strength. It is the beauty of true strength is vulnerability. And so it's been a real interesting, knowing that we all are co-creators in all of our experience. It's not like it's happening to me. I'm co-creating this at some much higher level than the one I'm at now. So, but anyway, if you're interested in perusing this and looking at it, I would highly recommend it. I'm doing the same thing.
And you're going to take the test and find out for sure if you're an eight?
I absolutely am. I am going to really delve into this in a big fashion. Mainly because where we are right now in between worlds, and this is so critically important, we are at a point where we have the opportunity to completely redesign ourselves, to re-image ourselves, to undo all of the stuff that we have taken on as who we are, including all the stuff that's been laid on us by family, friends, lovers, husbands, whoever, okay, religion, you name it. We're in that amazing place.
Or the other thing is even by association, any association.
That's correct. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But this is the time while we're in between worlds to really make those shifts. Busting and building image, another great Lazara state. I talked with someone today, dear Michael, who got involved in MAP. It's some program where they, it's a mutual coaching program kind of thing where they, set four major goals that they have to accomplish over a year. And it's fascinating to me to see people who are finding different ways to redefine themselves. And it's not only in career, but it's personally, from the personal redefining comes the change in our impact in the world. And because we can't get there being who we've always been. I mean, we have to change and become more of who we are in order to have the greater impact. It's what we came here to do. We're change agents,
Right.
And Veronica, with you and your television and so on, I mean, you've been redefining who you are, re-imaging who you are. You've been in the midst of this.
Mm-hmm. Some of it's been really scary, and guess what? I don't think I'm scared anymore.
Well, no, you get beat up enough, you won't be scared, because the truth of it is, the more that you get out there, the more you redefine who you are, the more comfortable you get with the change. I mean, I laugh because, I have this kind of very, very sick relationship with the team. And, I mean, I never know on any given day what life is going to be like, especially lately. I mean, there was a very long time where it was very consistent. You know, my sessions were at this time, and this time, and this time, and this time, and I ate at this time, and I got on the table at this. Not anymore. Now it's like all over the map, and I think it's really interesting because it keeps me out of being fixed and really kind of moving all the time, moving out of my comfort zone all the time, which is a good thing because I'm, I can't be in control.
Well, and also these are very dynamic times, and if you resist that, it's going to be hard, isn't it, to find ease?
Absolutely.
What ease, huh?
Yeah, there is no. Mm-mm, no.
We're not aiming for that.
No. Let's talk about the mixed messages, because this is really because we're in between worlds, and these mixed messages are really amazing, and which is you can be in an experience, and in the same moment, you can see two different possibilities, two different things you can choose to believe about the experience. One can be very frightening, and the other can be very beautiful. And you're having to choose, and you have that moment in there where you know you're making a choice, which choice to make. Do I choose the fear choice? Do I choose the other choice? And nothing is solid right now, so it doesn't feel like a solid choice. But I'm fascinated by the fact that we're playing out this dynamic of fear possibilities or exciting dynamic possibilities. And which ones are we choosing? And you and I talked today, Veronica, you tell them about your tsunami dream. I think this is hysterical.
Oh, yeah, I got up at the crack of dawn today, or just even around that time, and because I was looking out the window in my dream, I was looking out the window, and we live on the water here. The water was a little distance away, but there was this incredible racket, and I watched this huge tsunami. And I remember thinking, oh, it's not as bad this time. And I wonder where the kids are, and then I go, oh, they're okay. They can pass through really easily. They're still little. And I got up and wondered if I was seeing a predictive dream. You know, are we going to have a tsunami here? And as Jackie suggested, it's probably that deluge of emotion that we're having to release, mm-hmm. whether it's our own or the global combination,
right.
I'd say. And that's probably what it is. I've been thinking about that all day.
But the interesting part is that you had to make a choice, and I was laughing because she was packing up the RV, heading for higher ground. And, you know, I mean, my favorite joke is trust the universe, lock the door. But the truth of it is that we are making those choices, and in making those choices, who is to say that we're not aligning with a parallel dimension where we get to experience which choice we make, which is what I think it is. And but we're having those moments of choice where prior to this we couldn't see it that way. In other words, our subjective reality is now split, okay, mm-hmm. into subjective choice.
Okay. And it has to be in a split second, doesn't it?
In a split second. You know, what's in hand, you know, the right hand or the left hand, and you almost get to choose in that moment what it's going to be. I'm finding this very interesting. I've been experiencing a lot of this with my son where I've been having these almost panic attacks, you know, where I'll hear about an accident or something happening, and I have this panic attack that something has happened to him. So when he asked about moving back in, I'm thinking, oh, great. He's probably the greatest sender on the planet, sending me all this, you know. But I actually experienced the emotion, which I'm fascinated by,
well,
of the fear choice.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all. I'm just fascinated that the emotion comes flying through of the fear choice.
Wow.
Okay, here's the fear outcome. Here's the positive outcome. And I'm feeling the emotion of the fear outcome, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord. You know, that's so unlike me. But I think we're at this God's waiting room. Oh, Lord.
That's really good, actually.
Huh?
That's really good, actually.
What's good?
God's waiting room, you know. It's like to move up to, like to really be in touch with our divinity and all that. We are kind of in the waiting room wanting to make those choices so fast that we're
We
there.
Really are. And to me, this is like a really important practice period, mm-hmm. because it's going to get real serious real quick here. With time and space shortening up and thoughts manifesting very quickly, we're getting a preview of what it could be, and that's what I really think it is. that in that moment, without time and space, which we've always had, so our thoughts didn't manifest instantly, we are now at a time where we're getting to see and actually feel, at least I am, and feel what the negative choice is. And I'm thinking, no, I don't want to go there. So really quickly, and I do want to bring the team in, being willing to receive love. And so I am going to warn everybody, the more you send this out to the multiverse, the announcement that you are willing to be loved, you're going to set some stuff in motion. But you really got to come with your heart wide open. And I have to tell you, because it's going to start unplugging and hitting all, you know, the stuff, the residue that's still there, and don't think, doesn't matter how much work you've done, how much money you've spent, okay, we still have shadow, we still have shame, we still have anger, blame, fear, all kinds of negative stuff that we're still processing some of this stuff out. You know, we're not 100%. Sorry, if we were, we wouldn't be here. So we'd already be in fourth dimension. So it can come at you to look at, because if you're willing to receive love, you have to look at all the reasons why you didn't and weren't. Okay? Because those pieces have to move out. Huh?
We have to know that?
Do we have to know it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think? I mean, can it be just magical and... okay, here's the love and you're done? I mean, yeah, I guess it could. When you find somebody like that, let me know. And I think probably in my case, I'm always assessing because it's always shown to me so, you know, in your face. You know, what are the pieces that have held you locked in a specific place and why? I mean, I can look at all the reasons why I'm where I am, how serious I was about the role I came to play, what I wanted to do, blah, 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 and the setup and on and on and on. But regardless, you know, we're in a fixed vehicle for a certain period of time until we're not in the fixed vehicle anymore. And disassembling the fixed vehicle can be challenging. And
has been challenging, continues to be.
totally. And I laugh at myself because I'm in the gym all the time because I'm freakishly strong at this point. And realizing that I still need something that keeps me strong, even though I'm an emotional mess, you know, filled with love and teary and, you know. But I'm strong.
But doesn't your strength building, doesn't that really help deal with the emotions?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, it does, as a matter of fact. And so, you know, I will definitely say that for me, I'm a great challenger of myself. And so I will always do that. I'd rather challenge myself physically than try to challenge myself the way I've always done in the past, which was, how hard can I work? How far can I go? I mean, I've always done this. Always, 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 always. I would like to be more loving with me, but I still like to be strong. You know, I'm like Jack O'Lane. He hated to work out, but he loved the results. Okay. That's, I'm sure I forgot a bunch of stuff, but... fear. Oh, God, everybody, remember fear. And remember also that we came up with a broader idea of what we wanted to accomplish in this lifetime. And because I hear from a lot of people, well, they're having an easy time. Why am I having such a hard time? And it's not that you're having a hard time. It's that you have different goals. And
you hear that from a lot of people?
I hear it from... some people, yes. I won't say a lot. But I do hear it from some people, and some of them are, one in particular who is my favorite whiner, and she's very, not rich, wealthy, very wealthy, and she doesn't understand why her friends who are very, very famous, you know, don't, why, you know, everything is so easy for them, and she's struggling through stuff energetically, and I said, you know, you're a big soul, honey, what can I tell you? You didn't come in to do it the normal way.
That's
okay?
Sure.
Sorry. I'm tired all the time. Hello.
That's a really hard thing to explain to people who are just not in that thought process. They just think you're neurotic and you should get over it. Right?
It's absolutely true. Oh, God. And lots of magic out there, people. I got to tell you, lots of magic. Oh, been seeing so much, and I, you know, I could go on forever, but I do want to bring the team in for just for a little bit here, because they're banging at the door. Okay, God. They've been very patient with me lately, sort of. Right, everyone. All right, well, we're glad that you're having a good time tonight. We want to see that. We want to see more of that. And the more you can look at all of this with a humor, is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Won't take you into the depths so much. And it allows you to recognize choice, that you do have choice about the way you do this. Now, oh, Veronica, we've been waiting to talk to you about your dream, all right, about your dream.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
All right. You actually are picking up other experiences on the planet. Mm-hmm. However, all right, and we want to make this clear for all of you listening tonight. You're going to be having some very interesting experiences, where you may be unable to determine why you're feeling things, seeing things, and becoming one with things that you have no conscious experience with. Now, Veronica, you made an interesting statement about it being possibly prophetic or whatever. Remember that all experience in one now moment. Now, the channel's already had this happen during a session where she became the mother, she became the grandmother, and then suddenly, without any fanfare, she was an elephant, to the watching an elephant in Africa whose tusk had been taken and it was dying. And the next day, I had this session with someone who had an experience with an elephant and an ET, where the ET was ministering to the elephant. The elephant was so excited. Within a 24-hour, less than 24-hour period. This is oneness. This is something that eventually is going to lead to your being able to hop around from lifetime into lifetime into lifetime, touching in. Landing for a moment and exploring, and who am I here, and what do I know here that I don't know here? And but before you get to that degree, that level, you're going to start having experiences where you may not be able to decipher what's yours and what belongs to somebody else or something else. This is part of the oneness experience, people. And it's going to be fascinating. We encourage you not to panic if you can. but to allow, even while you're in the experience, in the dream, in the flash, whatever it may be, allow yourself to feel it, including its intensity, and recognize how much a part of each other you really are. You're opening up different areas of the brain and in the emotional body that have never been opened before, not for a very long time on your planet. And no, you're not losing your minds, and no, the channel thinks she's losing her. You're feeling. Would you call it an empathy? Probably too narrow of a definition. But your sense of oneness with all things. Your sense of connection to the animal kingdom, to the fairy realm, to the angelic realm, all realms are going to become more tangible for you than they've ever been. More real. And you're going to start experiencing them sometimes surprisingly, where you least expect them. Sometimes just popping in. Sometimes looking in the eyes of a stranger. You may begin to see people from a multidimensional perspective. Again, spontaneously. And walk away from a situation going, what the heck was that? You're going to open to all kinds of new experiences. Where the barriers, the boundaries, the illusions are going to slip away here and there. And for those of you who really are sending the message out, I'm willing to be loved. The message contains something so profound, something you don't yet understand. And that is the love that is held for you from everywhere and everywhere. And the excitement that there are humans who are truly willing to be loved. And this vulnerability, so many of you are still trying to figure all this out with your heads. Good luck. But what you're going to find is that your understanding will come through the heart more so than the head. Through the soul and through your spirit. A capacity to love that you've never known that you can have. A capacity to forgive. A capacity to understand. And when we say understand, you may not understand it intellectually. But to understand in a whole different way. Something that transcends the stories. What appears to be real, which really isn't. And if you were to melt everything away, right, all the structures and the jobs and the money and the houses and the cars and the you'd be left with one another. There'd be nothing to fight over, nothing to argue about. Oh, you could still argue about religion, but you wouldn't have any churches or temples or mosques or any place else. And you would come to one another. Without the barriers that you've got now. And just possibly be able to see your sameness instead of your differences. That's where you're heading, people. And this time in between is giving you the opportunity to get in touch with that. To let go of your judgments, right? Your angers, your shame, and your fear, and your entitlement, and oh, we can use all kinds of other words, but bottom line, meeting each other heart to heart, soul to soul, spirit to spirit. When you can start doing that, you're going to accelerate in forth in ways you can't even imagine. Being able to celebrate everyone else's good fortune, their joy, their love, their beauty, their achievements, whatever. And know that whatever they do, it's a part of you and you're a part of them. And see your sameness. Separation is an illusion. And you have a little time in here to come to terms with that. To fall in love with who you are. So that you can love others. To receive love so that you can let that flow through to all of humanity and to Earth. And know that you're not losing anything. You're gaining everything. You're losing nothing. We encourage all of you to do everything from your hearts. Only when you drop down into that energy can you make the quantum leaps that you're all trying to achieve. And all the fears that people have of being left behind will dissolve. Because the answer is so simple. Your growth, everything, is really all about love. And you're going to have others say, oh, that's such a simplistic statement. No. It's a true statement. Sorry, Veronica, did you say something?
Yes, we're going to have to end this. I wish we didn't.
All right. You want to talk about your shows quickly?
My show will be Linda Sherman doing astrology. She's very dynamic on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, and Thursday we'll continue on oneness.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
All right, tonight, everyone. Again, an opportunity, if you are willing, for us to work with you. On love, on opening your hearts more and more, opening your hearts more and more. All you need to do is call us in, and we will be there. We love you so very much. We thank you for all of your efforts, for your commitment. to move forward in spite of all the obstacles that you've all had. Your willingness to overcome everything. Because in your heart you've known what you came here to do. We love you, Veronica. To all of you, our total, complete, unconditional love. More than you know. And the more you open your hearts, the more you'll be able to feel it. Namaste, everyone.
Namaste. Thank you so much.
Are we off air?
No, we're still here.
Oh, good. All right. Good night, everybody. I love you. I love you, Veronica.
And you too. Thank you.
And remember that Veronica and I are with all of you, and you're with all of us. We really are all one. It can be no other way. I love you all so very much. Ronnie, I love you. And if you pack the RV, you can laugh, giggle every time you think about me while you're there.
I'm putting a propeller on top of it.
Well, if I hear an odd UFO sighting, I'll know what it is. Good night, everybody. Much love.
Good night. And you too. Good night, everyone.